restate it one more time, please?
I will read it to you, okay? And with the correction, with the amendment. Resolved that neither Pacifica nor any Pacifica radio station shall enter into any contract or collective bargaining agreement that does any of the following. One, attempts to interfere with, restrict the right or ability of the local station boards to screen and select a pool of candidates for which the station general manager and program director shall be hired. There's a bylaws citation. Or, two, attempts to interfere with or restrict the right or ability of the local station board to conduct written evaluations of the station general manager and program director. Another bylaws citation. Number three, attempts to interfere with or restricts the rights of the foundation members, including union and bargaining unit members, under bylaws Article 12, section deleted, including the rights of members to the membership address list for purposes reasonably related to their interests as members, or to require the foundation to provide an alternate means of communication with the membership, or attempts to restrict the ability or right of the board of directors or local station board to carry out their duties and responsibilities under the bylaws as the board of directors deems fit and proper. So that's the resolution. So let's vote.
Dave? Hello?
I abstain.
Teresa?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Sam?
No.
Sonali?
Yes.
Ray?
I strongly vote no against it.
Ambrose?
No.
Roger votes yes. Kalanji? Gerald?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Alice?
Yes.
The yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The noes are 1, 2, 3, 3. I have 7 to 3.
Wasn't hey, the motion carries.
Wasn't there somebody who we didn't hear from? Who's on the call? Was it Kalanji we didn't
too late
hear from?
If he's read the results.
No, it isn't. If I miss it. Did I call Kalanji?
Called Kalanji, and there was no response.
Hello? Did you
Hello?
Call me?
Yeah. Did you want to vote for it again?
I thought I voted, no.
Oh.
I didn't hear you. Okay. So that means it's 7-4. 7 yes, 4 no.
All right, but the motion still carries. So that resolution passes. And we go on to number 9, KPFK GM Evaluation Committee request. Sonali?
Yeah. I guess let me give a little bit of background real quick. Pull up my document. In June, at the Houston meeting, the KPFK Management Evaluation Committee submitted an information request to the national office, requesting information on that would, in order to aid us with our evaluation process. This was in compliance with the Pacifica Communications Policy. We finally got a response, I think, a few weeks ago, and within the last few weeks, things have been trickling in. There's only one part of the response that we were told needed board direction. And so I wanted to bring it forward to this board, and that is the part of the request that asked for past evaluations of our general manager, and we got our response from the national office saying this: the ED considers this a sensitive issue, and a policy should be developed prior to the release of this information. So I would like to present a motion saying, whereas the LSB is charged with evaluating their GM and PD, and whereas the PNB understands the sensitivity of information contained within past evaluations of a GM and or PD, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes the executive director to comply with all information requests filed as per the Pacifica Communications Policy by LSB Management Evaluation Committees, including past evaluations, with the condition that only elected members of the LSB view sensitive information after having signed confidentiality agreements.
I second that, Alice.
Is there some discussion?
I'm asking.
Yes, go ahead.
I think the one thing it needs to include is the notion of to whom the ED is going to transmit that and who's responsible for ensuring that that is done. I think the other thing we need to just be certain of is a sense of the consequences if these things are violated. But if the confidentiality is violated, but we have dealt with that with a number of the other committees in which confidentiality is required. I'd also like to hear Dan's thoughts on this.
This is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
I'm somewhat torn. I'd like another manager's opinion on something like this. I'm just wondering if looking at prior evaluations would have an effect, what effect it might have on the current evaluation. I mean, if a person has been, I don't know exactly how this works, but if a person's been reprimanded and has changed, how can they really expect a clean slate or a fresh start if possibly looking back at the prior evaluation would color the board's judgment moving forward? I'm not quite sure how that would work.
May I speak?
And actually, I can respond if the chair allows.
Okay, and then Alice.
I think in our case, it was to be able to measure progress. That was the reason for looking at past evaluations, to be able to measure any progress or any change for that matter.
And may I say, this is Alice, that in normal situations, in my years of employment at different places, like in academia, you have a file, and when you are evaluated, that stays in there year after year. However you change, you have a history, and I think that's an important part of any evaluation, whether it's in a nonprofit or in a corporation for profit. That is a normal procedure that that's why we evaluate. It's not just for 1 year's information, but for a history. So I consider this important. Thank
Alice,
you.
Alice, may I ask one question?
Go ahead, Teresa, and then whoever. I can, Ray.
Alice, in your situations where you were given access to a person's file, was the whole board given access to that file before they would evaluate?
In
no.
These different situations, if it was a faculty committee, yet for tenure and stuff like that in universities, that's how it happens. It's a committee and eventually the entire department. So, yes, there are issues like that. It goes not to one person, but to many.
Ray?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just as David expressed it, I have serious concern about the potential for violation of privileged information, especially if this individual is no longer engaged in seeking employment. I'm very concerned. I mean, I don't know if Dan is on the call. He could tell us whether we receive any kind of legal advice on this.
No, but I think it is definitely a situation where we would need legal advice. The personnel file in any institution is perhaps the most sacrosanct of documentation, and that is because it protects the institution, the foundation itself, from legal liabilities. And if we set this precedent of disclosing evaluations or personnel actions to a wide variety of folks. I'm not even sure that it's permitted, to be frank with you, but I think it is. Certainly it would be very the precedent-setting nature of this initiative, I think we should be extremely cautious about it and certainly get some kind of legal advice from an employment California employment attorney as to whether or not this is complies with California law and privacy laws.
Madam Chair.
Mark and Marty, can I please be added back to the
floor? And Alice.
And Dave.
And Dave.
Point of information, can we have the motion reread, please? I'm not sure if I have it. I'm looking at the right thing here.
Yeah, 1 second.
And certainly, Sonali, email it to me.
Yeah, please. I will do that. Okay. Whereas LSB is charged with evaluating their GM and PD, and whereas the PNB understands the sensitivity of information contained within past evaluations of a GM and or a PD, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes the executive director to comply with all information requests filed as per the Pacifica Communications Policy by LSB Management Evaluation Committees, including past evaluations, with the condition that only elected members of the LSB view sensitive information after having signed confidentiality agreements. And I'd like to add that I think this motion actually will help us in future years, because each LSB has to do an annual evaluation of a GM and a PD, and if they have to do it from scratch each year without knowing what the results were from the previous year, especially those new members, then how are they going to actually measure any progress or any change?
Indeed.
So. Would anybody else like to speak to this?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking in terms of amending the motion. The board directs the executive director to consult with an attorney to ensure that develop language policy that conforms to the spirit of this motion. So basically make sure that we've got all our T's dotted and our I's crossed. But basically the idea is that we want an attorney to develop specific language and policy that protects the foundation against liability while meeting the intent of the of this motion.
And may I make?
So that's substitute language in the motion. Is that right, Dave?
It's an amendment, and I'd like
amendment
to amend
to
it that the executive board directs the executive director to obtain legal advice to develop a policy that protects the foundation against liability while complying with the intent of the motion as follows.
Can you put a timeline on it?
Yes, that's what I wanted to do.
Dan, when do you think you can, how fast
about
do you think
2 weeks.
Can be done?
What's the date today?
25th.
I think probably by the end of the week after the U.S. elections.
So could we get that language at the special board, the executive session, since it is a matter involving legal issues, and have it agendized there to adopt the language?
November 8th.
What date is that?
That's Monday, November 8th.
Could I comment that is for the board alone, that meeting?
Yeah,
so I guess Dan would just have to send us a report.
Dan could send us the report.
Yeah, I can't guarantee that, but I will strive for, I think the best time for me might be more like by that Friday of the 12th.
Chairman?
Friday,
Madam
November.
Chairman, I have a point of information.
Yes?
When we say this is for the board only, does that not include our executive director?
No.
And could I?
That was not my understanding. Why would the executive director not be on a call where we're discussing issues related to council?
That's what I'd like to know.
This is a different thing. The 8th, forget it.
Well, why would the executive director and the CFO not be invited to any Pacifica National Board meeting?
That particular meeting.
The executive session is to discuss the follow-up to the Executive Review Commission at 8. And so Dan would be excluded from it.
We just present a report and then we could continue.
No.
Why not?
Because we need a private meeting. The numbers are to be private too.
Well, there's not consensus on that issue.
condemned.
Wait a minute. Are you guys talking about 10 different things?
Yes.
Yeah, point of order. Can we focus on the amendment?
At a time here. So let's, if we could agree that Dan will report back at the November, the regular November meeting, would that be
22nd?
22nd.
Well, I want to know from Sonali whether that timeline is acceptable. I mean, if Dan can have it done more quickly, I think we should do this more quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we just had a meeting of the Management Evaluation Committee, and, you know, we certainly want to move as fast as possible, and we're working on other issues. So I think 2 weeks would definitely be okay, definitely.
2 weeks, well, if you're talking about today is the 25th, so this week and following week, so that should be ready by the November 8th meeting. Is that not right?
Yes, but there's argument about whether it can even be presented at the November 8th meeting.
But once it's
presented,
you need time to deal with it.
Time and not go there.
Where do you want to go?
I want to go to November 22nd, if that's acceptable to Sonali. If it isn't, then we're going to hash this whole thing out here.
Yeah, why not? It's going to come up again. Let's deal with it as the issue arises.
Well, because it's a very confusing situation now. We've got an amendment to the main resolution, and now we've got a discussion that we have to have before we can agree on the amendment.
And a reminder that we still have race and nationality to discuss for an hour today, and I'm going to insist one way or another that we get to it in some manner.
That is the other issue that is pending, big time.
Thank you.
So,
I would like then to move that it be that we deal with it at the November meeting, as you suggest.
On the
November 22nd.
And then we can deal with the
Can
other
I speak to that, please? Hello? This is Sonali.
Yeah,
I was screaming at my mute was on.
Okay.
I'm making an amendment.
Ahead, Sonali.
I'm just saying that, look, the timeline for the management evaluation was meant to be within the term limits of some of our LSB members. The further it's pushed to the end of the year, the harder it becomes. That's all. That's a concern that has been raised at our meeting.
And you've done a considerable amount of work already, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a tough time meeting for a couple of months, but we just recently met. We're wanting to meet as often as possible. We have two meetings, or actually we have a meeting set up next week, so...
Well, the issue is very clear. Either it's presented November the 8th, and we hash out this issue right now, or
I recommend
November the 22nd.
I really recommend November 8th, if that's...
I have a point of information. This is Roger. Is this something that's going to be in writing, and therefore it can be presented as a text that anyone can present, or not?
I don't see why.
It sounds like something we need to do in executive session, so that
absolutely
only makes sense to do it on November 8th.
Well, what my point is, my question is, in other words, instruct the ED to consult with the attorney, compose policy, et cetera. So it's a policy. It'll be on paper or in email, so it can be presented regardless of who's at the November 8th executive session.
Right. So let's do it then with written information, P&B only.
I'm a little confused now.
I'll tell you what we need to decide.
Sure.
We need to decide what the amendment is to this resolution. We need to accept the amendment, and we need to vote on the resolution. Another issue about who's going to be at this meeting, we need to hash out separately, not as part of this. So
we just need a date. That's what we need.
To accept this information from Dan in writing at that meeting, then that will help us move along.
Is that an amendment?
Okay, point of information. I thought the amendment was that Dan would get advice from a legal attorney. An employment attorney, and report back to us on November 8th whether we can do this or not. Is that not the amendment?
No, not whether we can do this or not. To develop language that protects the foundation against liability to the extent possible while conforming with the intent of the following motion.
Dave, may I make a slight amendment to that report
to the
in
body,
writing?
Not to me.
All right, to the body, that we simply insert the words in writing, that we receive it in writing, so we can address it at the November 8th.
Special meeting in executive session.
Yeah.
Okay, is that amendment acceptable to people?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any objection to that?
Okay. This is Ray. I thought Dan said that he might not be able to get the information for us by that time. Am I correct or not?
I believe he thought he could.
I think I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I can. So can we vote on the main resolution now?
Let's go.
Don't we have to vote on the amendment, or did we accept the amendment
without
objection?
It was accepted without...
Shields was accepted without objection. We haven't considered Adelson yet, amendment, the main amendment.
Hey, can we accept the main amendment? Okay, I think we can. So
and that was a
put
substitute
on the main
right?
resolution then.
But that was a Dave's was a substitute resolution.
Well, actually,
no,
it tacked on to the beginning of yours.
Amendment.
Okay.
Language tacked on to the beginning of what?
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was substitute.
Oh, are people clear now? Could we vote
do you want
on
to read
main?
It?
Clear in what sense?
Could we read the whole thing now?
Dave, you read your section. I'll go with mine.
I like what Roger has in writing, so we're all sure that that's
I don't have Finelli in writing. Well, I'll be Dave here. Motion to amend by Adelson to instruct the executive director to consult with an attorney to develop policy reflecting the intent of the following motion by November 8th.
In writing.
In writing.
Policy? I thought we just went on an opinion.
Language, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah. I want basically the language of the motion.
Language. Actually, that's, I had that in here.
Let's repeat it one more time.
Motion to amend by Adelson to instruct the executive director to consult with an attorney to develop a language for policy reflecting the intent of the following motion in writing by November 8th.
But Dave also had language in there about protecting the foundation or whatever.
Right. That will protect the foundation against liability max to the extent possible while reflecting the intent of the following motion.
Yeah, well,
the prior motion.
So you have to fill out the motion sheet and hand it down the table to me for me to get that. Just joking around.
Roger, I just emailed you my motion.
Ambrose, I refer
it's
to it
the
as the following
motion
because it's the language is intended to be inserted.
And then, you put that in front of Sonali's.
Yeah.
Roger, I just emailed you my motion. I don't know if that helps.
I can't get it.
Okay,
All right.
Roger, could you read it one more time?
Let's try to get it clear, okay? Do you understand what we're doing?
Could we read that part one more
Dave,
time?
Dave, give me the part about protecting the foundation. Let me stick that in there.
The attorney will develop language that protects the foundation against liability to the maximum extent possible while being consistent with the intent of the following motion.
And then Sonali reads the motion.
To make sure we get Roger's complete. I'm sorry.
Roger's cobbling it together, and these guys are going to email it to me, and then it's going to be in minutes.
But we need it read the same way it's going to be written.
Dave, you're writing it down, right?
No, I was
really okay. Protects the foundation to the maximum. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm like doing another thing when you start doing that. I'm not.
Okay, I'll write it down, but I can't listen while I write.
Exactly. So that was language that protects the foundation to a maximum degree.
Extent possible.
To maximum extent possible.
I think that's.
Oh, come on. If you protect the foundation to the maximum extent possible, we can't do anything. Maximum
extent possible while consistent with the following motion.
Oh, okay.
With, I almost have it here.
Take your time.
So next time you elect a secretary, make sure they can type.
You're doing fine, Roger.
Yeah, I don't, that's
just
okay. You don't have to lie. It's all right. consistent with the what is following motion? And I have it.
The intent.
Yeah, that's what I have, actually. Thank you.
Could you read
you.
It?
All right.
That's
okay, read that one more time.
To amend by Adelson to instruct the executive director to consult with an attorney to develop language that protects the foundation to a maximum extent possible while consistent with the intent of the following motion in writing by the November 8th meeting, PNB meeting.
I missed the front of it, but I assume you have it.
Yes, it sounded fine.
Read slowly.
Please read yours.
Okay, whereas the LSB is charged with evaluating their GM and PD, whereas the PNB understands the sensitivity of information contained within past evaluations of a GM and a PD, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes the executive director to comply with all information requests, filed as per Pacifica Communications policy by LSB Management Evaluation Committees, including past evaluations, with the condition that only elected members of the LSB view sensitive information after having signed confidentiality agreements.
Would you mind, Roger, reading your part, the beginning part, one more time?
I give up.
I'm sorry, I don't see
to
it.
To amend by Adels, motion to amend, the motion as amended will read, motion by Sonali, by Kulhakar, by, as amended, to instruct the executive director to consult with an attorney to develop language that protects the foundation to the maximum extent possible while consistent with the intent of the following motion in writing by November 8th PNB meeting. And then Sonali's language.
Are there any objections?
Is there any objection to this, or do we need a roll call vote?
Okay, well, let me move this stuff out your way.
If I don't hear any objection, we'll consider that this resolution has passed, and we'll expect to hear from Dan in writing on how to honor legal issues while protecting the intent of the resolution or something like that.
All right, now we can move to racial economics.
Thank you all for working on that. Now,
and may I say thank you all, please?
Yes. No problem.
Sure, go ahead.
Item number 10. And I hope that you all have in front of you, or you have memorized or remember the report of the Anti-Racism Working Group of the Pacifica Now Conference, which Roger sent out to us when we created the agenda for this meeting, and we knew we were going to discuss it. And it is just it's printed out, it's about a 3-page document. Are people familiar with it?
What's the date that email was sent out?
Let me look. It would probably be like around Tuesday of this last week, and I can look it up here.
Yeah, it would be October
18th
or 19th.
So. I believe it's available on the web, isn't it?
Is this the report of June 21, 2002?
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you. It was sent to us, I believe, a long time ago. No, I guess
it was several times, but Roger sent it out right before this meeting. So
yeah, and I'll be able to tell you, Sam, in a second or two here.
The 18th or the 19th.
What's today? I sent it on the 20th, October 20th, 12 a.m. my time.
Thank you.
So this report came out of a conference that was held in June of 2002. In Berkeley, and the discussion there led to several conclusions and proposals. I think there were 5 of them. And then there was a proposed resolution that was sent to the IPNB, which the IPNB and Ray are people, I think you're the only person, Teresa, do you remember what the IPNB basically passed the resolution that was sent to them by this working group?
Yes.
Okay. So that resolution is also included in this document.
And it's called the proposed IPNB resolution?
On race and nationality issues at Pacifica.
Right. Thank you.
And it recommends 8 items. Starting with training and workshops. And what I would like to do, this is a huge issue. It's obviously more than we can do in the time allotted every single time, but I would like to go through the items that were proposed that the IPNB adopted and talk about, even if we only get to number one, which is training and workshops, at least set something in motion positively on this huge issue. So the first one is training and workshops, and this is what the IPNB passed in its resolution. at all five stations and the national office, paid and unpaid staffs and their unions, management personnel, and local advisory boards, well, that would be the LSBs now, should cooperatively plan and implement trainings and workshops focusing on issues of race and nationality, their intersection with other forms of oppression, such as class, gender, sexuality, and disability. These trainings and workshops should be offered to paid and unpaid staff, management personnel, volunteers, listener activists, LSB and National Board members at least once a year, and preferably at least every 6 months. So I'd like to take that and see what we think we might be able to do with item number one here. And that is, it's basically calling for some training and workshops on issues of race and nationality. And so it could be anti-racism workshops, or it could take another form. But and maybe, Dan, you could tell us if you know that if any of this has taken place at any of the stations or at the national office.
Excuse me, just a second. Excuse me, just a second. This is Carol Spooner checking
in.
I just got back from a trip to the emergency room, so I am late.
Goodness.
I'm well enough.
How nice they let you out.
So, I'm here.
All right. So, good. Welcome. So we're on agenda item number 10 here.
So
I am asking.
Henry Cooper, I would like to speak on this.
Do you want to speak on this agenda item?
Yes. About 2 weeks ago, we have the first meeting of the embryo of the anti-racism and this committee, and we have several observations on this particular issue. Number one, we would like to include that has to be people of color the ones to give all this kind of training. We have gone through the bad experience that Anglos have been trying to give this kind of workshops, and we have encountered several problems within the same experts that KPFD provided one time. So we are suggesting that has to be people of color the ones that can address this issue in order to be to have the guarantee that the issues are going to be well exposed.
That is
number one.
I'd like to speak to that.
Okay. Go ahead.
In spirit, I had an interesting experience, and Marty, you were there, and I know several other folks in this meeting were at the Grassroots Radio Conference in Santa Barbara, and the main theme was racism and addressing racism at that radio conference, and there was a group of young people, actually, who gave these workshops challenging white supremacy. I didn't attend any of them because they were meant for the white folks who attended, but I heard feedback that they were actually very good. At the Boston Social Forum, my husband, who is white, went to one of a very similar workshop that was done by white trainers for white folks about challenging white supremacy, and he thought it was extremely useful. So I just like to throw that out. I don't know how other people feel about that.
That's a fact.
Ray, go ahead.
Unless we wanted to duplicate efforts, I know some people who've done tremendous work in this area who are white indeed, except if we're going to hold separate, and I think everybody should go through them and be sensitized. I just thought that if we consider our limited resources, that these things should be either done, led, or at least primarily led by people of color who actually have experienced this directly. Same way that if we were doing, this is specifically about race and nationality, but if we're talking about diversity and we included women, I would prefer to have a woman lead this thing, although I'm sure there could be guys who would be well-intentioned and do pretty well. So that's my position on that.
Could I speak, Alice?
Alice, go ahead.
I wonder, Henry, at KPFT, did the LSB choose the workshop people you mentioned who were white and turned out not to be good?
It was the past interim lab.
Uh-huh. I just...
And they proposed a couple of experts.
Uh-huh.
One of them was a female, white female, and it ended this this workshop with an actual confrontation in between one lady of color and this lady, because this lady was actually acting in a racist matter without even knowing that she was doing what she was saying not to do. So the issue was raised at that point, and everything came okay, but it left a sour experience among the people that were there. So this is just as a matter as a reference. They may be some white people that can be very sensitive, sensitive and very capable, but the experience that we had here was very sour, and that's why this is just as a reference. If there is the person capable to conduct this kind of workshops and be a very good experience, well, we are open to it.
One of my concerns is that women not be just included when the workshops are about sexism, but about everything. And I don't consider, you know, gender oppression of women a secondary thing to anything. So my personal preference, if people think that only people of color should be offered these trainings to give,
oh, no, it has to be for everybody.
For,
can I ask
sorry?
A question, Henry?
I didn't understand what you just said, Henry, sorry.
Why don't you clarify? I think Henry is saying that the trainings, he's talking about the trainers.
I'm talking about the trainers, Henry.
No. The training has to be for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
But has to be led by trainers that are people of color and
yeah, that's
and,
what
and,
I was speaking.
Female.
Yeah, and I would say that if, to stress the female part of it, you know, preferentially, if a female of color can be found, I would just suggest that.
We have met during this time since that workshop, that it has been almost a year. We have met several ladies from the Women's Center, for example, that are very capable and that have through talks through KPFT that are really wonderful people. That's why we insist that we have to refer to these people that actually know what they're talking about, that they have lived.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
This situation that are going to be the most adequate people to lead these kind of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Well said. I have a question for Henry. Are you talking about the KPFT had a series of anti-racism trainings that were done by the wife of a previous lab member? Is that who you're talking about, Henry?
No, he does the one.
No.
Huh?
Jean Ladding and Mary.
Do we mention names here?
I think we better.
No, I didn't mention names, but I was just kind of, I got to tell you that I know that these were done on a volunteer basis.
So
you're saying it was the partner of the wife?
I don't know if it's not relevant. We want to go forward here.
Further, if this is their profession, it is not appropriate to be.
Actually, I had a better question or a better observation in that the KPFT series was done by volunteers. So I'm wondering if there's a budget implication in what you're talking about. And I'm happy if there is. That's fine. But I think that needs to be identified.
Yes, we will come to the issue of budget for all these issues.
Yes. And, of course, there's a budget implication. Even if it's a volunteer, there's some sort of budget implication. I just want to ask if, besides KPFT, if any of these trainings has taken place at any of the other stations or at the national office. And Dan, can you answer that for us?
No, I'm not aware of any.
Yeah, Madam Chair, at BAI, we did have earlier this year the LSB, and I'm sure Ray and Roger will remember, we did have a day in which a lady was hired to come and work with us in various ways. Anyone else want to talk about
and
that?
KPFK also had some a couple of years ago, isn't that right, Sonali?
I don't recall anything.
The sitting in the fire group?
The what?
The group dealing with maybe it was just the local advisory board that went through. That.
No, I don't know. Nothing for the staff, sir.
I could have been almost certain there was.
Well,
Roger.
We need to figure out a way to move forward on this issue, and I'm wondering if
can we get a vote?
Well,
before
Madam
Chair.
We don't have a resolution. We're looking for a good way to move forward on it, and I think some real issues have been put forward on who's going to do it and what is the cost and what are the implications here. So, Ray?
Yes, there are some people in New York who have been looking into that. One of them is a former member of the local advisory board, and they would be able to provide. Actually, I believe there is an individual, he's Caucasian, who used to run a pretty well-respected organization who actually recently moved to New York. And I think they could very quickly provide us with numbers, at least, in terms of... The difficulty is that these things would have to be local. Well, maybe so, that's the reality of it, is that like what Alice referred to, which was really a sensitive thing for the local board itself, we want something offered where the staff could participate, and I'm assuming that each area would hire a different set of individuals to do the training.
Madam Chair.
Marty?
Just a minute. Go ahead, Ray.
So I could be the point person to contact this individual and find out very quickly, in writing, this week, what the modalities would be, including estimated cost.
Okay. Who else wanted to speak?
I would.
Dave.
Yeah, I think I would like to leave it to the committees of inclusion, each station locally. I think they're already working on these issues, that we would respect their selections as far as this goes and put it in their hands.
Yeah.
I
like that.
The committee.
Can I make a comment on that, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Well, I think if we're talking about that specifically, the New York Committee of Inclusion has
problems.
For example, they have one African American on it, for example.
Why?
Because they were elected, and nobody from that group was elected. So I would suggest that we include the Committee of Inclusion, but that we broaden it.
Yes.
Do you have a recommendation of how?
Are you talking to me now? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a specific formulation in mind?
Volunteer.
Well, as I say, there are people who are in New York City who have been working on that. They can contact them. They are people of color, and I would like to bring them. They've been pushing for that issue for a long time, by the way. People remember... We had a committee that dealt with that earlier, moments when we were building bylaws, and there were different people from different areas, and New York had people work very strongly on that.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Alice?
I wonder if we could combine these things so that I believe Henry met with, I hope, one meeting so far of all the committees of inclusion. Did that take place, Henry?
It takes place Thursday.
Oh, it's about to. That maybe... The individual committees of inclusion, because they're going to change in another month and a half or two, that each one of them create, you know, out of this report what they would like to do and then coordinate in some way with the national version of the Committee of Inclusion so that budgets can be worked up where necessary.
There's no such thing as a national committee.
Yeah,
they're
meeting
on an ad hoc basis.
Committee of Inclusion.
Well, then perhaps...
Kalonji, what do you...
My understanding is that the ONI Committee of Inclusion is a national committee.
Well, you're right, aren't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you? Wait, do they report to the national board?
That's right. The Committee of Inclusion reports directly to the national board. Now, we have each member of the Committee of Inclusion, and there are five of us, okay, develops a Committee of Inclusion within their local station...
Right.
To assist them in that process.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, in the bylaws it says, in addition, there shall be established in each of the foundation's radio station areas standing committees of the board to monitor. These committees of inclusion, so it's plural, shall include one director and three LSB members from each radio station.
Uh-huh.
So my understanding is that there isn't actually a national body. There is a subcommittee of the national board in each station area. Elected by the local board. that reports then to the national board.
This is Carol. May I get in the check?
Go ahead, Carol.
Kalonji and Dave are right. There are five committees of inclusion. They are standing committees of the national board, just as the local station boards are. However, there's nothing to prevent the five committees of inclusion from working together, forming some kind of an thing like Henry is setting up for Thursday, where members, national board members, or some other designated members of the local committees talk to each other across the network. The two are not mutually exclusive. They can confer.
Well, and I don't want to both dump this off on them, but I really would like input. I think it would be very, very valuable from that group on how to proceed, not only on this first issue of training and workshops, but on all of them. And if we continue, the second issue is programming on internal Pacifica issues. The third is staff composition. The fourth, resources for staff diversity. Five, committee composition, asking that at leadership level at least 50% of people of color. There's a number six is local programming on external issues. Number seven, national programming on external issues. And number eight, implementation and evaluation. Even it's calling for a paid multicultural coordinator at each station.
That
so
was
these
the goal.
Are very, very large.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Issues. Yes.
Can we, a question for Henry and Kalonji, whether it would be appropriate for this meeting that's coming up to actually come up and make a proposal on, a specific proposal on how the training would be developed and the trainers selected. Would that be something that would work?
I think so.
If we could start simply and really move forward and actually accomplish something in that area, I think it would be great.
Question.
This is Henry.
Yes. Henry and then Ambrose, is it?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Henry.
Yes. Actually, what we have decided in KPFD is that the Committee of Inclusion has to start addressing the formation of this anti-racism and diversity committee. We are scheduling a new date for the second meeting of the committee and let it to work around this document that is very progressive, is very well prepared, and just to start looking the ways to implement all the suggestions that we have here. I think that within the same spirit, the Committee of Inclusion at the national level can start working, seeing how can we implement actually with all the implications in budget, in preparation of workshops, and working with national officers to see how can we go forward with this endeavor.
Henry, could I ask you a question? Which document you were referring to?
I'm referring the one that we are.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The one of June 21st.
So you're saying, in a way, it's all already underway.
So can we vote on Henry's motion? I seconded the motion.
Can I make one statement, please?
I'm sorry. I didn't even know there was a motion.
Nor did I.
I neither.
Sorry. Henry had presented a motion.
Henry, wasn't that a form of a motion?
I can present any form of a motion that I move that the Committee of Inclusion at the national level be the one to see the ways to start implementing the anti-racism
workshops.
In working together with the national staff.
Can I make an amendment to this?
Yes.
Can I present,
point of order, Madam Chair, you had Ambrose on the stack, I believe.
Yes, I did have Ambrose on the stack.
I simply want to raise a question. Are we talking about training and workshops in each one of our signal areas plus national training?
I think what it calls for is trainings and workshops to be offered to paid and unpaid staff, management personnel, volunteers, listener activists, LSB, and national board members at least once a year.
But the national board members are in LSBs.
Not all of them. May I draw your attention?
Well, except you. sorry.
We know some famous ones.
That's true.
But it's true that all Marty has set her own trainer. The national office.
Can't hear.
What?
It begins at all five stations and the national office.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure we're clear when we make motions. Are we saying that it's going to take place in each one of the five station areas plus a national training and workshop agenda?
National office training.
Yes.
This is
Teresa. Chair. Oh.
Okay, I'm Lou. All right, Teresa and then Ray.
Are you saying that from now on we're going to have it every year?
Preferably at least every 6 months.
It's like a vaccine.
You're right.
I would like to
just a moment.
Say, this is really a delicate thing to say, and I know that we have issues of sexism, classism, racism, of, you know, ageism, et cetera. But we are, if we're going to say that we have to have this every year in all these areas, you know, and maybe even every 6 months, it could be very costly. I've gone through training at my church.
Hello. I'm sorry. This is Roger. I've lost my phone connection for a while. You guys didn't make any motions in the last 4 minutes.
We did, actually, but we'll do that in a minute.
I've gone through training at my church to deal with homophobia, but I just can't. I just think we need to be careful about financially what we're getting ourselves into if we say we have to do this every year and in all these places.
This is Samuel Katek. I'd like
Kalonji.
Kalonji,
I'd like to be on the.
I was next, Madam Chair.
And then Kalonji,
Marty Sonali.
See, Kalonji has the floor.
I thought I had, Madam Chair, I thought I had the floor before.
I'm sorry, I thought it was Kalonji who wanted
the floor. No, it's Ray. I won't be long. I would like to tell Teresa, though, that racism is a lot more expensive than that. All we have to do is look at the history of this country.
Absolutely.
I think that if you look at the spirit in which this was, if you look at the third paragraph of the, not the motion, but the statement by the group, it mentions other, it mentions women, because it realized that these are different segments of the same problem. I wanted to make a plea for flexibility so that the motion would include working with individuals who've been involved in this struggle. For example, in BAI, we have the peculiar situation that because one local board member is not active, where the Committee of Inclusion has two white people and a Latino. That's a little bit bizarre. It's nobody's fault, probably, but that's the result. And I think it would be silly to start this way when there have been individuals who have been working on this all along and who can contribute immediately. So I like to, at the proper moment, amend this motion to read that the Committee of Inclusion would reach out to local forces that have been working on this question.
I have a point of information. Actually, Ray, you're saying the four main people on the BAI Committee of Inclusion, correct?
Yes.
But what about all the other people they just put onto the committee, that they just elected onto the committee? Do you know what the makeup is there?
I don't know.
It's not four people. It's many more people than four people. So that's not entirely the whole picture.
I'm confused about what we have on the floor here.
Could I ask?
Kalonji had a point of information, wasn't it?
Can you please add Sonali to the stack?
Hello? Am I still here?
Yeah.
I got a point of order here, Secretary Privilege or whatever. Can you state the main motion? Because I believe Ray's trying to amend it, so for me to keep everything straight, it would be very helpful.
Henry, why don't you state your main motion again?
Yes, I move that led to the Committee of Inclusion to start working the ways to implement the Anti-Racism and Nationality Committee. Taking in consideration the implementation of the workshops in each particular local station at and at the national level.
Motion by Cooper.
I was asked for a point of information earlier.
Well, hold on. We're not done here. I'm sorry. I apologize for my phone battery died on me. Motion by Cooper that the COIs develop a plan to implement the training at the stations. Is that what you're saying?
The training and workshops.
And workshops.
The plan for training. Thank you.
Okay, Kalonji.
We passed a motion on the, I don't know whether it was the second or the third, okay, indicating, I think Walker's motion was amended to postpone race and nationality discussion until when the PNB could hold a day of diversity to coincide with Pacifica's annual meeting in January 2005, and that the COI conduct planning for that day, and that the race and nationality issue be brought back to the full PNB within 1 month from the date of the PNB meeting so as to address the issue prior to retiring this PNB term. Now, we passed that 17 yeses.
When was that?
On the last meeting we had October the 3rd.
And point of order, actually, and that's correct, except that it was amended to say at the end that we would have a discussion within a month of the D.C. meeting, which is what we're having now.
We're having now. Okay,
right.
But that's, I wanted folks to understand that we still have the first part of that, is in the works. And
yes.
We're having our first meeting Thursday, which is one to be the topic of that meeting, one of the topics of that meeting Thursday.
Good. Thank you, Kalonji. All right, but we have Henry's motion on the floor, and that means that this could be a second topic and could be brought back to us in L.A.
Point of information?
Yes.
Class order? So based on what Kalonji just read, is Henry's motion redundant, or does it add something
yes.
new?
I don't think it's redundant. Maybe I'm missing something. Is it?
I don't know. I can't follow that.
Well, this is Henry. I believe that it only reaffirms what we
yeah.
voted on the PMB.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the inclusion that we have to start working not only in a projection, but working on numbers and how to implement it. You know, more a little bit more specific.
This is Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
If I understand Henry's motion is that the COIs get moving now to develop implementation plans for workshops, including budgets and scoping out who could do it. Is that the intent of the motion? And if that is the intent of the motion, Kalonji, was your point of information intended to say we should wait until the COIs give us a report or recommendation?
No, it was specifically to say that would be one of the agenda items at our Thursday meeting.
Uh-huh. So the two actually, you think, work together well? Do you think Henry's motion, I was just wanting to understand what your point was. Is your point that Henry's motion fits well with what we've already asked the COIs to do?
That is for you, Kalonji.
Yeah.
I know. What I'm getting at, I have no problem with it if it's presented in that manner.
Uh-huh.
And not as a separate kind of activity.
Uh-huh.
Carol, what is the significance of your question here? What are you trying to get at?
She said.
The significance of my question was I was not sure if Kalonji was raising an objection to Henry's motion. And if he is raising an objection to Henry's motion, I want to understand it better.
I just want to understand how his motion fits into what we already agreed should be done. And if it's a matter of giving us some direction to that meeting on Thursday, I see it's wonderful. If it's a matter of duplicating it or changing it, I think we have to, you know, look at it a little more closely.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion?
Could I just ask Henry to clarify again?
It's not a second motion. It would be just part of what we're going to be discussing on the next meeting on Thursday.
Okay. So essentially,
it's redundant.
So we're asking on the PNB, just the new part of it is bring this particular piece back and what you recommend?
Let's put it this way. I would rather withdraw this motion because whatever we're going to talk on next Thursday,